Cover the night to trumpets, the Feast of Trumpets. And we'll read about it from Leviticus chapter 23. And we'll read of two of the feasts here. Tomorrow night we're looking at a very special one, the Day of Atonement. But we'll read from verse 23 of Leviticus 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Also on the tenth day of the seventh month there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at even. From even unto even shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. Amen. We know that God will bless this reading of his own word to our hearts. Let's just bow together in prayer, asking for the Lord's help as we wait around his word this evening. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy goodness to us. We thank thee for thy hand upon our lives. And we rejoice, Lord, in every blessing that thou hast bestowed upon us this day. We thank thee tonight again for the word of God. We thank the Lord for the liberty that is ours to gather in this fashion and to open up the scriptures of truth. And we ask, Lord, as we do so this evening, that thou would be pleased to come down into our midst. And Lord, that we might be taken up with thee, that we might see Jesus this evening, and that our hearts might burn within us. Lord, to this end I would ask thee for help. Give us words to speak this evening. And Lord, we pray that by thy Spirit, that thou wouldst burn thy word into our hearts. Lord, draw near to us this evening. Do us good, for in our Savior's name we pray. Amen. Leviticus 23, we read in 5, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. In this chapter we have a list of the various feasts. The word feast, as we have seen, rather than indicating feasting, it actually means appointed times. Setting the times of these feasts, the Lord being sympathetic to their needs. The first four were held in the spring, returning home after the feast of Pentecost to gather in the wheat harvest. There were no feasts during the fourth, the fifth, or the sixth months. These were probably the hottest months of the year. The temperature beginning to cool, they then on the seventh month, hearing the sound of trumpets blasting across the land, they left their wives, their homes, and their farms, making their way through the valleys and over the rough and rugged mountains. They came again to Jerusalem, this time staying 3 weeks and celebrating 3 more feasts. They were to treat the first day as a Sabbath. No servile work was to be done in it. And as well as giving them an opportunity to feast, these feasts had also a prophetic value. It reminds us that as after the feast of Pentecost, there was a prolonged waiting time. So after the day of Pentecost, there will be that waiting time. And the harvest being gathered in, the trump of God will then sound. And Christ coming, he will gather his people into an eternal Sabbath, where they will find eternal rest. And you see, the trump of God will sound again. And heralding the Savior's return, it will issue in for his people an eternal rest. Indeed, Paul, taking up his pen, he said in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." And he reminded them that the trump of God sounding, the people of God rising, they would remain with him forever. And you see, Christ is coming not only to bring eternal retribution, but he is coming to bring eternal rest. And while it's going to be a terrible day for sinners, it's going to be a triumphant day for the people of God. You know, one of the most significant battles fought in British history was fought in 1690. And it was fought on the banks of the Battle of the River Boyne. There, King William, defeating the tyranny of James, religious and civil liberty was brought into the kingdom. And remembering that great event, there's an old Orange ballad, and it goes like this: "On the banks of that beautiful river, the bones of our forefathers lie, awaiting the sound of the trump to call them to glory on high." And you know, that's the hope of every child of God. The day is coming when the trump of God will sound, and the dead in Christ rising and being made perfect in that day will be issued into that eternal Sabbath, where we will find eternal rest. You know, when Prince John was just a wee boy, King George V used to bring him into the throne room in Buckingham Palace. And sitting down in the throne, he would lift little Prince John and he would set him beside him on the throne. And you know, that's the hope of every child of God. Yes, there's trials and troubles down here, but our future is bright. The day is coming when the dead in Christ shall rise, and we shall reign with him in glory and for all eternity. What a hope is ours tonight in Christ. And so I want tonight to draw your attention to this feast. And so doing, not to look so much at the prophetic, but to look at the practical lessons that there are for us to learn here. Firstly, I notice here the summons to this feast. The hottest months of the year passing, the shrill blast of trumpet filled the air, summoning them once again to the house of God. Notice here the season mentioned. 3 months having now passed since the day of Pentecost, we read in verse 24, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the 7th month, in the 1st day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing trumpets." The ancient rabbis believed that the Lord created the world on the 1st week of the 7th month. And as such, why the religious calendar commenced on the 1st day of the 1st month, the civil calendar did not commence until the 1st day of the 7th month. This day commencing, they were to do no servile work, leaving their farms and their workshops. They were to come into the presence of God. You see, they were to give the first moments of the new year to the Lord, to be even in his presence. And you know, God requests the beginnings even of our lives, the beginning of our years, the beginning of our weeks, even the beginning of our days. Indeed, leaving us a perfect example, we read concerning the Lord Jesus in Mark 1 and in the verse 35, "And in the morning,
rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And although the Lord Jesus Christ rose early in the morning, yet he found that the crowds of the sick and the dying were already waiting for him. They were crying out for his healing touch upon their lives. And although the Lord Jesus was moved with compassion and his heart went out to them, yet rather than stopping to minister to them, we find him pushing through the crowds. Coming up into the mountain, he gave the first moments of the day unto communion with his Father. And my friend, all beginnings are not only special, but they should be sacred. They ought to be given even to the Lord. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that great preacher, said, "Look no man in the face until thou hast seen the face of God." Knowing that the first hours of the day were the rudder of the whole day. Colonel Gardner used to rise every morning at 6 a.m. and he would spend the first 2 hours of the day in the closet with the Lord. If it was a military campaign and the campaign started at 4 in the morning, then he rose at 2 in the morning. Martin Luther, that great Protestant reformer, said, "I have so much work to do today that I cannot possibly get it done without 3 hours of prayer." Now, I'm not suggesting tonight that you should rise at 2 in the morning, nor am I suggesting you should rise even at 4 in the morning, nor am I suggesting to you this evening that you should spend 3 hours of prayer every morning. If you can, then that would be good. But my friend, it's good to give the first moments of the day even to God. As Spurgeon said, to look into the face of God before you look into the face of man. Can you imagine the soldier, and what does he do first thing? Surely he needs to go and stand before his commanding officer there to find out what he ought to do with the day. Otherwise the day becomes lost. And there needs in our lives to that beginning with God. That spending of time, even in his presence. Just as the Jews gave the beginning of the year to give the beginnings, to give them even unto the Lord. But not only the season mentioned, but notice also there the sacrifice mentioned. Then coming up to the house of God, we read verse 25. "Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." In Numbers chapter 29, we're given there the details of this offering, as well as offering up a young bullock and a ram and 7 lambs and a burnt offering. They were to offer up a kid in a sin or an offering. And shedding their blood, the priest then blew the trumpet over their bodies. And in so doing, he was drawing the attention of the people to the sacrifices which had been slain. And my friend, in life, there needs to be a taking of time to look away to Calvary, to consider that atoning sacrifice of Christ. We mentioned the verse one other night, but it bears repetition even this evening. 1 Corinthians 11:24. The Lord said, "We hear the Lord, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In breaking the bread and taking the wine, surely he was drawing their attention to the fact that his body had been broken there in the judgment hall, broken there at Calvary's cross, drawing attention to his blood which had been shed. And there needs in our lives to be a looking away to Calvary, not only a marking, but a meditating upon the Savior's atoning death. Was that not what Moses and Elijah talked about there in the Mount of Transfiguration? Was that not the center of the conversation between the Lord Jesus and the 2 disciples on the road to Emmaus? Charles Haddon Spurgeon, coming down the valley of the shadow of death, in the last moments of his life, some of his last words were, "Jesus died for me." And there, even going down into the valley, where was his thoughts? His thoughts were away towards Calvary. And in life, there needs to be that stopping, that taking time to consider Calvary. Someone has rightly said, for every look you take at yourself, take two looks at the Savior. And is that not why many of God's people get discouraged and downcast and faint along the way? They look in, and they only look in, and they see their failings and they see their shortcomings, and they become discouraged. And becoming discouraged, they eventually faint along the way. Now, don't get me wrong, there needs to be heart searching. There needs to be those times when we get alone with God's Word and we cry, "Oh God, search my heart and search my life." But listen, my friend, when you come even to the searching of your heart, remember, look inward only with one eye. And with the other eye, keep it upon the cross. Looking away to what Christ has done for you on Calvary's cross. Oh, never let a day go by. Never let an hour go by. But looking away to Calvary. Looking, Maya, and beholding the fullness of His sacrifice for us upon the cross. Remember Calvary. Stay beneath its shadow. Also notice here, not only the sacrifice mentioned, but we see also the service mentioned. Coming up into the Lord's presence, we read verse 24, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets." The word memorial here does not always refer to remembering something in the past, but it was often used to call their attention to something that was yet future. In fact, it comes from the same root as the word remembrancer in Isaiah 62 and the verse 6. And there they were to remind the Lord of what He was going to do. And as such, in gathering for this feast, they were not only to be looking back, as some suggest, to creation and to the giving of the law, but they were to be looking forward to the Day of Atonement, forward to the Feast of Tabernacles. And my friend, as well as looking backward, there's got to be a looking forward, a contemplating of those great feasts which are yet to come. Abraham left his home. He went out not knowing where he was going. And yet walking by faith, we read in Hebrews 11 and verse 10, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." And lifting his eyes beyond the land of Canaan, looking beyond its cities, he was looking to that heavenly city. He was considering that land which lay ahead. And my friend, as well as looking back, as it were, to the Passover, there needs to be a looking forward to the Feast of Tabernacles, to that joy that is yet future. Huntington, taking pen, wrote, "Oh, think of the home over there by the side of the River of Light, where the saints, all immortal and fair, are robed in their garments of white. Over there, over there. Oh, think of the home over there." And I wonder tonight, do you take time to think of the home over there? Do you take time to think of that great day when we will be glorified, made like unto the Savior, and enter into joys that are immortal and that are eternal? You know, I think if only we thought more of those things, we wouldn't feel so grieved about the trials of life. Because if we only could see the weight of glory that lies ahead. My friend, it would make our present troubles and trials so much smaller. Bring them into proper proportion. And I wonder, do you ever think about the land over there? Do you ever take time to think about heaven? To think what it must be like to be in the presence of the Lord? Now, where there's no old man left within, pulling us away, tripping us up every day and every hour. And the trumpets sounding, they were to go aside. And they were to stop their work and stop their service. And they were to look back and remember the Passover. And then look forward to that feast or those feasts which were yet to come. My friend, take time. Take time to stop. To look back to Calvary. And to look forward to the land that is yet to come. And I tell you, it'll thrill your heart. It'll put fire into your soul. It'll put iron into your sinews of your soul as well. It'll make you strong. But I think as we look at the feast, not only the summons to the feast, but there was a sound at the feast. In coming to the feast, they were to bring two silver trumpets. In Jeremiah, the Lord urging the people there to hearken unto His word, He said, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. These trumpets here speaking to us of the Word of God, notice they were to be sounded. The sun setting and a new day breaking forth, we read in the verse 24, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation. In Numbers chapter 10, we discover that while these trumpets were two in number, they were to be formed out of one piece of silver. And of course, they were typifying that while the Word of God is made up of the Old Testament and the New Testament, yet it is one. And during this feast, they were to be blown from the setting of the sun in one day to the setting of the sun in the next day. Their sound was to be continually heard throughout the land, drawing the people's attention to the sacrifice that had been slain. And you see, my friend, as well as continually studying the Word of God, there's got to be a continual sounding forth of the Word of God, a drawing of men's attention to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's speaking to Isaiah, the Lord said in Isaiah 58, and in the verse 1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sin. The phrase there, spare not, means don't hold back, don't be intimidated. Go forth, cry out, spread the word of God. And you see, the Bible is not an ornament to decorate our shelves, but it's a trumpet to be blown. It's to be continually sounded throughout the land. You say, but surely it was the priest who sounded the trumpet. It wasn't the farmer. It wasn't the carpenter. It was not the shepherd. It was the priest that was to sound the trumpet. But my friend, when we go into the book of the Revelation, we read in Revelation 1 and the verse 6 that the Lord hath made us kings and priests unto God. Yes. And as God's priest, you have a responsibility to sound forth the Word of God, to sound it clearly in the ears of men. Do you ever think of why the Dead Sea is dead? The Dead Sea is dead because while water is continually flowing into it, no water ever flows out of it. The water comes in and it stops and then just evaporates. And if you're always studying God's Word and always listening to God's Word and you're never letting it out, you're going to become dead. And your life, my friend, will begin to give a stench. It's not pleasant. We're to be sounding out the Word of God. We're to be blowing the trumpets. Are you sounding it out? Are you seeking in your workplace, seeking in your home, seeking in your community to be sounding forth the trump? The trump of God's word, the Old and the New Testament. But not only were they to be sounded, notice also here they were to be served. Sounding forth, we read in Numbers 10 and the verse 3, when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle. While they were small in size, only two in number, they were extremely powerful. Their shrill notes going forth, they controlled the whole camp of Israel. Sounding of the first day of the seventh month, the people immediately rose out of their tents and they began to walk and they came to the house of God. You see, these trumpets, they, when they were blown, they controlled every aspect of their lives. And rather than being directed by society, we are to be directed by the Scriptures. They are to be controlling every aspect of our lives. You remember David and going up against the Philistines. He routed and defeated them. But they weren't finished. They regathered and regrouping, they then reattacked. And instead of going back out to battle using that same old strategy that had been so successful, we read in 2 Samuel 5 in the verse 23, and when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. I'm sure there were those who came and whispered to David and said, David, look, the strategy worked the last time. Let's just use the same strategy. But no, David was guided by the word of God. And my friend, until we are above sin, we will never be above the Scriptures. We must submit to their every directive. Oswald Chambers once said, one step forward in obedience is worth years of study about it. In fact, I would go farther and I would say to you this evening that all of your study is in vain. Profit you nothing if you don't obey it, if you don't put it into practice. If the children of Israel hearing the trumpet said, yes, that's the call to the feast, we're going to go. But we'll leave it till next week and then we'll go. They would have been too late. The feast would have been over. You see, my friend, delayed obedience is nothing but disobedience. There must be an obeying and a prompt obeying of the Scriptures. As you hear God's word sounding forth, as you hear its clarion call telling you to do this or that or the other thing, are you ready to obey? Are you ready to rise up and go? We often sing, where He may lead me, I will go. For I have learned to trust Him so. And I wonder tonight, have you learned to trust Him so? If God should say, go, are you ready to go? If God should say, stop, are you ready to stop? If God should say, do the last thing in the world you want to do, are you willing to do it? God may never ask you to do the last thing in the world you want to do. But He wants you to be willing to do it. Willing to do it. Are you controlled by the trump? Not only were they served, but notice also here, they were to be silver. In Numbers, we're told that they were to be made out of silver. Silver is not only pure and durable, but silver is precious. And my friend, the word of God is precious, but more than that, it should be precious to us. The psalmist said, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. And he said, I would rather have God's word than thousands of gold and thousands even of fine gold. It's more precious to me than even life itself. You know, when Stanley went on his search for David Livingstone in the jungles, he took 73 books with him. He traveled 300 miles and the burden came too much and he opened the package and he threw out a book. He went a bit farther and he threw out another book until he had only one book left, the Word of God. And I wonder tonight, is the Word of God your most precious book? Is it more precious to you than gold and silver? Is it sweeter to you than honey? Does it mean more to you than life? It did to the martyrs. Rather than throw away this book, they laid down their lives. Is the book precious to you tonight? Do you love God's Word more than anything else in life? Are you sounding the Word of God? Sounding it forth this evening. And then there was the sequel to the feast, keeping the feast and sounding the trumpets. Notice that it revives their souls. These trumpets sounding, we read in Numbers 10, verse 3, when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle. Echoing across the land, these trumpets not only woke them from their sleep, but it summoned them to the temple. Of course, the temple was God's dwelling place. In other words, hearing the trumpets sounding, obeying the trumpets, it drew them close to the Lord. And the Word of God not only rouses the soul, it revives the soul, it draws it unto the Lord. A.T. Pearson said, while other books inform and some reform, this one book transforms. And you know, when we're in the Word of God and we obey the Word of God, it transforms us. It draws close to the Lord. Neglect the book and you'll begin to drift. You'll begin to get away from the Lord. It's only as we read the Word, pray the Word, live the Word, that we're drawn to the Lord. It draws us close to Him. My friend, we often sing, oh, for a closer walk with God. Calm and heavenly freedom. That comes through God's Word. Only as we read the book are we drawn to Him. Also, not only did it revive their souls, it rejoiced their souls. The psalmist said in Psalm 89, in the verses 15 and 16, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day. The phrase joyful sound there is translated in Leviticus 23 as blowing of trumpets. And as such it could be read, blessed is the people that know or blow the trumpets. In other words, blowing the trumpet, they would be blessed. And the word blessed means happinesses. In fact, he went on to say that they would rejoice all the day. You see, the Word of God not only educates us, the Word of God exhilarates us. It fills our hearts and souls with joy, real joy. You say, preacher, I want joy. Then blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. Nothing will thrill your soul or give you more joy than blowing the trumpet of God's Word. You can often look back to nights going out to do door-to-door work. Sometimes people think, oh, preachers, that's easy for them. Well, it's no easier for the preacher than it is for anybody else. And going out and maybe a dark, wet night to knock doors, and your heart is faint and your knees are trembling. And you say, oh, I wish there was something else to do. But you know, you go and you knock the door and you begin to talk. And I tell you this, you come back rejoicing. Nothing will thrill your soul more than sounding the trump of God's Word. Of telling people of the sacrifice of Christ that's able to cleanse them from all sin. That's where joy is. In sounding the trumpet. It also refreshed their souls because the psalmist said in that Psalm 89, verse 15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound or blow the trumpets, they shall walk. Blowing the trumpets, he said, they would then walk in the light of his countenance. They would keep on walking. The Word of God not only stirs the soul, it strengthens the soul. It enables us to keep walking, keep going on with God. Why are so many same thing. Why are so many and their lives are full of fits and spasms? One time they're running, the next time they're walking, the next time they're lying, giving up. It's because, my friend, they neglect the Word of God. They neglect God's truth. If you're going to walk in the light of His countenance, you're going to have that steady walk, not running and then stopping, but that steady walk with God, then you need to be in the book. You need to be in the book. And you need to be sounding forth the Word of God. Now, what a feast this was. My, can you imagine it? My, the day coming, the trumpets sounding across the land. People rising, coming to the house of God. Oh, that's our responsibility. Now to keep the trumpet sounding. Now there's many places it's not heard today. Now its sound has been hushed. And so many of God's people have become defeatist and afraid. But my friend, we're to sound forth God's word. Oh, that we might be enabled by His grace to blow the trumpet. To blow it loud and to blow it clear. And I think if we do, then my friend will see a great gathering of people coming to the Lord. Coming to Him. Trusting Him as His own and personal Savior. Because the Word of God cannot fail. Cannot fail. There's no bad seed in the Word of God. It will bring forth a harvest. May God help us to keep this feast, to be sounding forth the Word of God in our day. Let's bow together just in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we rejoice that we are Thine. We rejoice, Lord, that You're coming for us. We thank Thee that one day we shall see Thee in all Thy glory. But Lord, till that day come, help us to keep sounding the trump of God's Word in our homes and communities. And Lord, we pray that as the Word of God is sounded, and that we will see many come to Thee. Thank You, Lord, for this place and for the Word of God sounding forth week after week after week. And we pray, Lord, for the gathering in, that Thou wouldst draw many, and my, not only to the house of God, but to the God of the house. And that their lives might be changed and give themselves to Thee. Thank You for each gathered tonight. We pray, Lord, that You would part us now with Thy blessing and that You would take us to our homes in safety and You'd watch over us. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen.